Let's talk to Isabel Oakeshott, TalkTV's international editor. Isabel, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. I've had this feeling for a while, and I talked to many people who seem to have the same feeling, that there's a sort of edge to everything at the moment, that everywhere you go, you feel kind of as though almost anything could happen. And I don't mean to be in any way, I'm not talking Britain down, I'm not trying to make out that, you know, we are in a sort of terrible spiral of despair that we can't get out of. But we do appear to be in a bad period of time for sort of, you know, what I would call our society.
I'm so glad that we're talking about this today, and I'm not surprised you've got lots of people calling in. The coincidence is that I was on my way just to Talk TV last night and doing a journey that I normally do, actually, just around Vauxhall Station. And for the first time, I felt really quite uneasy around Vauxhall Station last night. Right. There are a lot of kind of honestly quite shady looking characters, and I just thought something has changed in the last, I mean, it's really happened quite recently, that has tipped the balance from, you know, that feeling of unease, particularly as a woman, being something that you're only going to get at a particular time of night in particular settings, the feeling that you have to have your wits about you, even in broad daylight at sort of 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the evening. The other thing I'm noticing a lot in central London, and it would be nice to think it's just central London, but I'm sure that people will have their own stories of this from all over Britain, is the amount of casual marijuana smoking and marijuana use that is everywhere on our streets. So, and I've just come from Green Park, and I was just standing outside the tube there. And there was a guy right next to me just smoking weed.
Whenever I go to Green Park, I get that as well. There's a lot of people that's quite dodgy characters hanging around there. And that's right in the centre of Piccadilly. I mean, it's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, so what are we doing here? I mean, either we should codify the fact that we're just going to let this thing be openly done and, you know, we're having full tolerance of this, in which case, you know, we're going down the route of places like Seattle where you're legalising it. Or we've actually got to decide on a policy of enforcement of the law. And the kind of unease of being in the city and wondering, feeling that you've always got to look over your shoulder or need to have your wits about you. It's quite a new thing, I think.
Yes, no, I think it is. And I'm not quite sure when it happened, but you're right. It's quite a recent thing, possibly even as recent as this year. To have that feeling almost everywhere, and also more and more people who I just sort of interact with on a daily basis saying, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people sort of on the edge. They're a bit angry. They're on trains, kind of glaring at each other. Somebody touches somebody else, it kind of kicks off. School children, you know, brawling. We've seen fights on beaches sort of every single weekend now. It's weird.
It's really weird. And I think that the sort of low-level antisocial behaviour, I see it stemming a bit from an over-tolerance, an attitude of hashtag be kind, let's put up with anything. This is the kind of thing where, as a commuter, I experience this a lot. Somebody will put their music on very loudly in a train carriage, you know, or be watching loud videos. Right. It's absolute pain and very antisocial for everyone else in the carriage. Nobody, except frankly me, ever challenges it. And if you do challenge it and politely say, look, would you mind, you know, I'm trying to do other things here, would you mind turning that down or putting some headphones on? You do risk getting an absolute barrage of abuse. Yeah. Nobody standing up for it. Now, my point is that unless we challenge the low-level antisocial behaviour, things soon escalate into much worse antisocial behavior, and you've got a society that is too scared or too quote tolerant to actually enforce collectively what we would all like in terms of standards of behavior.
Yes, I mean, I take myself back to New York in the 80s when I lived there for about 9-10 years, and under David Dinkins, who was then the mayor, it became a really dangerous city to live in. You know, crime, street crime was up. There was a lot of homeless people on the streets. There was a lot of mental patients on the streets because some of the, you know, institutions were shut down. And it was a really awful place to be at a particular time. And then Giuliani came in and fixed it all. And he did that by literally just policing the streets, by changing the social behaviour. At some points, actually, I remember talking to taxi drivers. He said, Giuliani's ruining New York, and now he wants to do away with the hot dogs, and he doesn't want the guys selling them on the streets. But he managed to get New York back, And now it's gone again, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I wonder whether we have to do something similar here.
So we have an opportunity, which is that there's a mayoral election coming up in the not too distant future next year. And I don't want to be in the slightest bit party political about this. I'm not a member of any political party. But do people honestly think that continuing to vote for Sadiq Khan is going to result in things getting any better? Because it is under this Labour mayor that things have got to the state they're in. Yeah. You know, he's manifestly failed to make anything better on the, in terms of the safety of streets and knife crime and so on, whilst all the while rabbiting on ad nauseam about air quality above ground. By the way, the air quality where most of us travel in central London in the underground is completely toxic compared to anything you're going to get in the fresh air. Don't hear him talking about that. So somehow or other, maybe there could be a movement that coalesces around an alternative to Sadiq Khan. I mean, the Tories haven't really put up anyone inspirational yet. So let's see if anyone comes forward.
Yeah, well, they've got a few irons in the fire on that front. So a couple of them don't look too bad to me, but we shall see. Speaking of party political, let's talk about Rishi Sunak. He's over in America. I think, and I don't know whether this is true, and I'm sure people will say this is a bit trivial, there was a funny story that he was going to throw the first ball out at a baseball game, and then suddenly it turned out he wasn't going to. And I think he probably did the right thing there, because that's quite a hard thing to do. I remember George Bush doing it and making a complete mess of it.
It's not worth it, is it? I mean, if you're wiser, you just say absolutely do not go there. You know, any of those kinds of stunts, you've got to get them right. Otherwise, it backfires horribly, and it can never leave you if you get it badly wrong. So I think this trip is interesting. I mean, Rishi's tried to come up with a headline which is a bit different and been quite successful on that with this initiative for the UK to host the world's first ever conference on artificial intelligence safety. It's a really interesting subject, this threat posed by artificial intelligence. Quite hard to kind of wrap your head around, because you've got a lot of conflicting voices and quite a lot of alarmism about, you know, robots could kill us, putting it bluntly. And equally on the other side, people saying, well, hang on a minute, this is all a bit overinflated, and actually these things are going to do more good than harm. I think it's super interesting. You know, when you've got some of the world's most intelligent, successful people saying this is a serious threat, I think we have to consider that quite carefully.
Yes, I think so. I just find it slightly odd that suddenly this is a thing, you know, and I know that it's because some people in the AI world and the people who have sort of built a lot of this stuff are now warning about it as well. But it just suddenly seems to be like everybody's talking about AI and how dangerous it's going to be.
And it's not as if these systems have only just been developed now. I think the point that they're making is that the rapidity of progress has accelerated massively in the last few months. And that may be why there's suddenly a whole hue and cry about it. Mm. I mean, intelligent weapon system development has been going on for years. I remember writing about in a book I wrote on the state of the armed forces in the UK about some kind of automatic, a robot that can fire guns, basically. So this stuff has been around for quite a while. But I think it's a good place for the UK to be positioning itself as a, I hate the expression, but a kind of thought leader, anything like this. I mean, this is a sort of thing that if it were just an add-on to an otherwise tremendously successful repositioning of global Britain post-Brexit, you'd think, yes, this is fantastic. But it doesn't go to the heart of all our problems here in the UK. It's just a bauble, which Rishi Sunak has painted at the top of a very shabby, dying Christmas tree that is the UK to try to distract us.
It does feel a bit like that. You know, he's kind of, I wouldn't say striding across the world, because he looks diminutive even next to the mascot from the baseball team, I'm afraid. But he's just sort of, you can't quite believe everything he's selling, can you? He's not, you know, he's got this, as somebody described him the other day to me, he's got this kind of Goldman Sachs look about him. You know, he looks cool. He's got the right sort of clothing for every possible adventure that he's going to take himself to. But yet it's kind of an empty vessel that you're talking to.
Well, this is one of the very few things that he's talking about that he can actually deliver. I mean, how hard can it be to organise a global conference on AI in Britain? Right. I think this is one thing that Rishi can actually come good on. a lot more easily than he can come good on his promise, continually repeated but never delivered, to actually spot the migrant boats, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So,
I mean, to be honest, organising a it's a bit like when I once had a very angry Jack McConnell, the First Minister of Scotland, telling me that I was being too hard on him at the Scottish Mirror. And he said, look at all the achievements I've got. And he listed all these achievements. One of them was setting up a conference for something. And I went, that's not an achievement. Setting up a conference is what people do when they've got nothing else to say. Setting it up is no good. Doing something is an achievement.
It's basically a meeting. That's what it is. Yeah. A meeting and making a lot of song and a dance about it. Whatever happened to Jack McConnell? I think you and I were probably reporting on Scottish politics.
Well, do you know, he's actually quite a good friend of mine now. He's in the House of Lords.
So he is.
So I see him every now and again, once in a while. But we'll come back to that. Stay where you are, if you wouldn't mind. We're going to come back to the Oliver Dowden-inspired secret organisation that was keeping tabs on all sorts of people, including probably Isabel Oakeshott and probably me. This is Talk TV.
On the app, on your smart speaker, Talk Radio and Talk TV.
Does your broadband slither around your home? And at peak times, do things feel a little constricted?
I call it Finn.
Your wife is just through here.
Boss.org.u.
Viaduct, made with them on the A44.
I hear you, bro, but watch out! I'm just getting the rest of them! Metalphiniums!
I wrote it, Tendrin!
See you later, wait!
My award winning.
Think about three years of information units.
Talk Radio. On DAB+, on the app, Talk Radio and Talk TV.
Welcome back to the Independent Republican. Mike Graham. We're talking to Isabel Oakeshott. And Isabel, before we get on to Oliver Dowden and his secret misinformation unit, just a developing story over in France, in a place called Annecy, southeast France. Authorities have now said that the attacker, who has stabbed a group of children, six nursery-aged children, we think, about 3 years of age each, two of them are in critical condition, is now being named as a Syrian national. So as horrible a story as it is, that will become a massive story now, because, of course, he will be an asylum seeker of some kind who has come through France and is probably on his way to Calais to come here.
Well, I'd like to say undoubtedly, we don't know, but, yeah, very likely. I mean, why has he come to France? You know, this goes to the heart of the debate about whether all these people who are coming over are desperate people in deserving need of our compassion. Mm. I'm afraid they're not. You know, quite a lot of people who are coming over here from questionable origins have very questionable intentions. And they shouldn't be kept in the UK or anywhere else for 2 years while the government decides whether they have a case or not.
And aside from anything else, in addition to all the other things that we don't know about many of them may have mental health problems, as this guy may have, in which case, you know, we don't want you, thanks.
Well, I mean, in a sense, it's almost by definition that by the time they get here, they probably develop mental health problems if they didn't have them to begin with. And if they really are fleeing from trauma, then it's very likely they will have mental health problems, which need to be looked at. And at the moment, we don't even have the capacity to provide decent mental health services for the population who are entitled to be here. So it's not really an ideal situation. And as you say, we don't know where a lot of these people come from. I mean, our colleague Richard Tice, who confronted a number of the asylum seekers who were protesting about the quality of their accommodation in central London the other day, spoke to one, and the guy looked distinctly shifty when Richard asked him where he's from. He replied Iraq, which I think is just now the standard response to any question about where people are from. I would have liked to have drilled into that a bit. Where exactly from Iraq? Now, what exactly was your route? And did you leave your wife and children, your sister, your mother?
Right. Yeah, I mean, these are all questions that, you know, apparently if you want to ask them, it makes you some kind of racist bigot, because you should just be believe. I mean, who on earth in any world believes everything that they're told by anyone? You know, it's like somebody knocking on your front door saying, you know, I've come from the gas company. I've come in to read your meter, but he's not actually wearing the uniform and he's not actually giving you any identification. You wouldn't let him into the house.
No, absolutely not. So a real source of concern, this, and absolutely not going away. And so in addition to organising his AI meeting, Rishi Sunak might want to turn a bit more of his attention to £100.
Yes, I think so. Let's have a little chat about this secret government unit that we were all apparently being monitored by. I suspect you were on the list, as I was, and as Molly Kingsley was. Oliver Dowden's misinformation unit has now been disbanded, we're pleased to hear. But I wonder what they were doing and exactly what they sort of learned or gleaned or where the information is stored.
Well, I mean, what we do know is that the government very definitely took a decision to actually employ a unit in Number 10 that normally deals with counter-terror operations, to deal with people like you and me and Molly Kingsley and Julia Hartley Brewer and other people who simply wanted to have a debate about the policy response to COVID. Many of the points that we were making then, which were decried as disinformation, are now being accepted as having been absolutely right. Mm. So it gives me a little bit of pleasure, to be right honest, but I'd much rather that the whole nation hadn't had to pay the price of it. And I think that the suppression of legitimate, sensible, very necessary debate about what was going on in terms of the seizing of emergency powers and the whole excessive response to the COVID threat was one of the most sinister aspects of the COVID response. And we need to do whatever we can to make sure that debate with the compliance of the social media companies is never again shut down in that way. Mm. Social media companies have got a lot to answer for. And as you know, they're still doing it. There are certain topics that you're just not allowed to present any alternative view on. And that includes climate change, by the way. If you say, actually, well, the weather's changing and I'm not totally sure it's all man-made and so on, you are quite quickly removed from a number.
And you're sort of decried as a climate denier. I mean, we're having a lot of these conversations at the moment because of the current smoke filled North America problem, where Canada's got a lot of wildfires going on, which will probably turn out to have been set by some mad arsonists, right, rather than being set because of climate change. But apparently the smoke is travelling all the way down into sort of New York and into parts of the northern areas of America. And of course, if you question that it might not have anything to do with climate change, then you're immediately a crank.
Well, I mean, we nearly went down this route on the talk last night. Kevin O'Sullivan, our colleague, was taking on some of the rest of the panel, and I decided I just could not face it. he's absolutely right. And, you know, the suppression of debate puts us in a very weak position when we do all our kind of moral superiority over other regimes in the world where they don't have a free press. Well, I would really question the extent to which we do have free debate in this country. We actually just don't.
No, we're not to
pontificate from our high horse.
No, exactly right. Isabel, great to see you. Thank you very much indeed. Isabel Oakeshott, Talk TV's international editor there.